The awakening process, the higher consciousness process, how do you know you're there? How do you know that this is taking over in your life? It seems to me that there are levels we go through, and it has nothing to do with our age, our sex, or how much money we have. It has nothing to do with anything outside of ourselves. But I believe that we go through these various levels. I can see it in my own self. I can see it from erroneous zones through gifts from Icus. I can see a transformation taking place. I can see an evolution taking place. And now, at this point in my life, I can see that things that were very mysterious and difficult and just absolutely unavailable to me, based on the consciousness that I had and the intelligence that I had, are now readily there for me. I can have them anytime I want. And I tried to just note some of the qualities, the characteristics that you begin to see in yourself. And even though you may be listening to this tape right now and thinking, well, that's not me, save it. Look back on it a year from now, or 5 years from now, or 10 years from now. And it's very difficult for us to understand that none of us are ever formed. We're always in transformation. No human being is ever formed. Just when you think you're formed, you look in the mirror and there's a wrinkle that wasn't there yesterday. Or the eyelid droops a little more, or the tooth has got a hole in it, or something is going on. So there's no such thing as a formed person. Everything is always in transition. That's the nature of our universe, this transitional process. And the things that would upset you years ago, now you wonder how it ever could have even bothered you. And the things that you're bothered by now, you will look back on a few years from now and wonder how that could have ever been a part of your life. Relationships that you just thought, oh, how could I ever get out of this? And I just don't know. And you look back on it and you go, phew, thank God I wasn't formed and that I was able to get back and not be in the place that I was at that time. And so this constant transitional stuff that constitutes life is a transformative process. It's like moving beyond your form all the time, always understanding that. And what happens as you get to the highest stage in this level of consciousness, until you leave this level of consciousness, that is, we call that death. And by the way, when you get this, death is something that just terrifies almost everyone. I was on an airplane flying up here yesterday, and there was a man who was sitting in the row ahead of me, just ashen white, just frightened to death because there had been an airplane crash, a very serious one, just a few days before. And they were trying to comfort him and everything, and I was saying to my wife, who was sitting next to me, I wonder what he's so frightened of. And she said, well, he's afraid of crashing. I said, yeah, but what is there to be afraid of in that? You begin to see that when you become more awakened, that death isn't anything that frightens you. We have the greatest melodrama going on death, and we milk it for everything we can get for it all the time. And death jokes are not funny. You don't tell death jokes, and you don't ever make an offhand remark about somebody who has just died or anything like that. And if we had ever gotten to the point where we saw death as just another transition, where we leave this dimension that we live in and enter a new dimension, which we do every night when we go to sleep. We leave this dimension called form, and we go into this non-form dimension, and it doesn't trouble any of us. We are in pure thought for the whole time, and it's all just fine. None of us ever wake up and go, oh, I was so frightened that I was in this dream and that I was going to stay there. And that you understand that it's just, we're multidimensional, all right? And what happens, first of all, is you begin to notice that you have a new intelligence. It's the most amazing thing, this new intelligence. You begin to see clearly the foibles of human beings. You begin to see how restricted people are to these ancient beliefs that are no longer valid for them, yet people still hang on to them. All of these old rules and so on that somebody else has passed down from generation to generation. And you kind of look through all of that, and you begin to even see it in yourself. You begin to see how you conduct yourself based upon rules that no longer apply, that somebody else tried to impose on you. And you don't get angry at it anymore. You're not attached to it. You don't judge it. You just see it. You see a little child, and you see the perfection and the beauty in that little human being that you didn't see previously when you just looked at it and said, oh, that's just another snotty-nosed kid. You don't do that any longer. This new intelligence that you begin to develop gives you a dramatic freedom because you no longer have to be right. You don't have to convince anybody else about being right about anything at all. You'll see other people having an opinion, and it'll be contrary to yours. Instead of trying to fight with them and get them to get into your camp and all of that, you almost stand back and say, well, this is where they are. And you don't have to use any special language. You just see that. And it's almost like you get an internal kind of smugness. There's a love for that person, but there's like, I'm glad that I'm not there. I don't have to do that anymore. I don't think like that anymore. You begin to perceive things just differently. And in addition to this new incredible intelligence that starts to come over you, you develop also this unbelievable compassion for other human beings and all life forms. And this compassion, it starts to become overwhelming to you if you're starting on the awakening process. You begin to have a kind of a love for other human beings akin to the love that you had for yourself when you were most happy, when you were a youngster. And that love that you feel for others, you begin to feel it even for people who are supposed to be, quote, your assigned enemies or your competition or whatever. You no longer think in those kinds of terms. You see a divinity in every single soul that is out there. And this compassion starts to overwhelm you, and you don't want to see things hurt, and you don't want to see anyone else hurt in the process. And that's part of the awakening process, this new compassion. That's a wonderful feeling. I know I was walking down the beach last week, and there was an older man there in his 70s, and he was teaching this young boy how to fish. He had taken the fishing pole, and he had thrown it out into the ocean, and he was reeling back in. But the fish that he caught was too small, and he was going to throw it back into the ocean. And his line got tangled in the process. So this fish was there laying on the beach, flopping around, gasping for water, I guess. And the man was so preoccupied with his line being tangled that he completely forgot about the fish. He was working on the line and explained to the kid, well, when your line does this and does that. And I was standing there, I was standing 2 feet away, wondering what he was going to do about this fish. And he had said, oh, we'll throw this back. It seemed to me that if he behaved as if the God in all life really mattered, that the first thing he would do is to take the fish and remove the hook very gently and throw the thing back. But his preoccupation was with his line being tangled. And he and the boy didn't care about that. And finally he said, okay, we'll throw this back. And he let the fish suffer for about 2 minutes. And he threw it back, and the fish got washed back up on the beach. This tiny little fish. So I was standing there, and I went over to the fish, and I picked it up, and I took it out about 20 yards or so. And it was still alive. Eventually, it got whatever it needed. It got the life force back inside of it, and it ultimately just darted away. And I thought to myself, there was a time in my life, and see, this has nothing to do with age. I mean, a man is 70 or 40 or 23 or whatever, because in my own children, I have a 2-year-old who has a total appreciation and value and compassion for everything that's alive, will escort a palmetto bug out of the house, all right? And I have another child who just can squash it. I don't know where it comes from. I don't pretend to know that. I just think that they show up with this in some cases. That kind of behavior that I'm talking about when you start to see yourself awaken doesn't mean you don't eat fish. Nothing like that. I think that there is a natural food chain, but there's a humane way to conduct all of that, to be. There's a humane way to be and to have that kind of compassion for everything, whether it's a fish or whether it's another human being. You begin to develop that anyway. Your personal ethics begin to change as you get into this awakening process. You begin to have standards that didn't apply at one time or another. I see it in my own life with anyone that I meet. It would be very difficult for me to leave an encounter with another human being, having them going away angry or upset. My ethics don't allow for that any longer. And so many times I will bite my tongue and not say things. The need that I used to have to be right and to put people in their place just sort of diminishes and starts changing. Another characteristic or quality that you begin to see is that you have a decreased attachment to people. You're not as attached as you were. Particularly are you not attached to those who would control you in any way. And while you have this tremendous compassion and this new intelligence where you begin to see things that were unclear to you at one time earlier in your life, there's just not this preoccupation with getting everybody on your side and getting everybody on your team. And that the more you have these controlling relationships in your life, you begin to see that it isn't necessary any longer for you to be there. And you just start moving away from it. First, you move away sort of in your own mind. You just start saying to yourself, no, I won't be controlled. And you fight it for a while. And then after a while, you become very peaceful inside. You just slide away from that. And privacy becomes something that you become almost consumed with. The need to be able to meditate and be by yourself and not have other people around you all the time is another quality. You begin to see yourself as a person with no boundaries and no labels. And that's really one of the real big keys to awakening. You don't have a rigidity for defining yourself. You don't have to define yourself by your job title, by your sexuality, by how much money you have. You don't define yourself. You begin to notice the formlessness that you are, the old definitions that you always placed on yourself. I am a college graduate. I am a minor. I am a salesman. I'm a man. I'm a father. Any label that you have. You don't use those any longer. They don't become a part of your life. You see yourself more and more formless. In other words, you've gone beyond your form. And that becomes very, very clear to you. And you put fewer and fewer labels. You don't rigidly have to define yourself any longer. Another big change that you see in the awakening process, and I think this is really important, is that problems, difficulties, obstacles are not seen the same way. They are literally seen as like energy shifts that are out there, all right? And it sounds really strange, but there's all these things that have to get done. And you've got so much time and so much energy and so much money and so much intellect and so on to apply yourself to these problems. Previously, you would find yourself fighting to get all these problems done. Now, you don't look at a problem that way. And you don't look at yourself that way. You know that it's going to just disperse. They always do. And that there's now an opportunity for me just to see what I'm made out of, just to see whether I can handle it. I mean, I treat the silliest little things like this. I did it today. I did it today in a simple little thing of not being able to find a key to my hotel room when I was coming over here to do the recording. And it's a little plastic key, and I had put it someplace, and I couldn't find it, and I had 10 minutes, and so on. And there was a time I would have just gotten myself so worked up and so upset over that silly little thing. I can't find this key. I don't look at it like that any longer. I just see it as a test, as something that's going to disperse, and it's going to work out. And if I don't get that key, I can always get another key. And I'm not going to get myself in the position that I used to get myself into. And I do all that through thought. It wasn't 20 seconds later that I found the key, that the key just showed up. It was right there. And it almost always happens. If you're in a hurry, let's say you got 10 minutes and you got to take a shower and you got to get downstairs and all that. If you rush yourself and you get into the shower, the first thing you're going to do when you're on rush and on hurry and on, I got to get it done, and you see the problem that way as something that I have got to resolve, I got to get this thing resolved, then you are that way inside as well. So inside starts doing that. So now you're going to drop the soap at least 4 times, guaranteed. Then you're going to take the shower, and the water isn't going to work right, and you're going to pull off the handle or something. So the water's going to be... And even if you don't do that, the interesting thing is, when you take a shower under stress, and you get through and you dry yourself off, notice how quickly you're sweating again when you go to put your clothes on. Not because of you not being able to dry off, but because inside... That which controls all of you, thought controls all of you, your body is still on not being cleaned and not being showered properly. So you get your clothes on, you go, oh, I got this all done. And you look at your clothes and they're sticking to you. And you're just, whereas if you would have done the same shower in the same amount of time with like a different approach to it, you would have seen this as time for you to relax and enjoy. You literally would control the amount of sweating that you were doing. This next thing about awakening, it's really interesting. I call it in an instant. In an instant, you begin to understand things that had always been clouded and mysterious to you. In one instant. I can remember looking at a classic book that has a wonderful story in it. And it was written back in India many, many years ago. Many thousands of years ago. And I can remember reading it about 4 or 5 years ago and getting nothing out of it. Nothing. And then one day I picked it up, and in an instant, it all made absolute, total, perfect sense to me. It's almost like you now are open to things, and that new openness that you have to a new intelligence allows you to experience things that you never experienced before. I used to always avoid the philosophy section of a bookstore, or anything that even smacked of spiritualism, or metaphysics, or anything like that. Now I find myself in there and wanting to underline passages and buying 4 or 5 of those books and taking them home. And it's almost like in an instant, I can now read some of those kinds of books that I used to think, ah, what is this stuff? Who does this guy think he is? Who's he kidding? What is he talking about? And now it's like I read it and it's there. I used to read stuff on transformation that I just thought, come on, if you can't see it, you can't get a hold of it, it doesn't exist. That's all there is to it. Now I see it totally differently. And as you begin to awaken, you have these instantaneous, almost, kinds of new approaches, new ways of looking at things. What it is eliminating the rigidity that you previously had to it. Because the minute you reject something you know nothing about, which is the highest form of ignorance, to reject something you know nothing about, the minute you do that, then you aren't prepared to let anything in. It's just like an artery that is clogged with cholesterol, cannot let in the proper amount of blood. But it's like it's clogged there. Well, there's another kind of clogging that takes place inside of us. that when we are rigid, when we are judgmental or negative about something, it's blocked off. And you try to let something new in, something that might conflict with something you previously believed or whatever. And some people go through their whole lives and stay right there. And others, like, in an instant, that openness. And, you know, that instant can happen in an experience. It can happen in a lecture. It can happen in a church service. It can happen in a beautiful encounter between another human being, maybe even a stranger. It can happen in any number of ways. You have it, you're now open. And that openness gives you enlightenment. It gives you the opportunity to now understand things that were always cloudy for you before. Another thing that you begin to see, and I saw this particularly in myself happening, is that the boundary between yourself and other people starts to break down. It's coming into an understanding of the oneness of all of this. Patricia Sun has a little thing that she sent around last week, and I got it in the mail, and it was real beautiful. It's a picture of a globe. And the writing around the globe said, when you understand that the world is round, you can never choose upsides. And there's a lot of real beautiful truth in that. Right? How can you choose upsides on something that is round? There's no sides on something. But you've got to get back far enough to see the oneness that we come from, the oneness that we are, the oneness that all humanity is, that we are like one cell in this whole body called humanity. And the things that separated you from other people become less and less and less significant. You know, I am older and you are younger. I have more money, you have less money. I have more intellect, you have less intellect. I'm more athletic, you aren't quite as athletic as I am. All of these boundaries become diffused, and each human being that you meet, you begin to look not at what separates you from them, but what connects you to them. And you begin to see that connectedness. And that connectedness gives you a freedom to be able to reach out to them, to build bridges to them, rather than building separateness. You can now start reaching toward them. And you literally see everyone out there as connected to you in some way. You know, like we're all cousins or something like that. What really happens here is that your personal identity changes. The way that you identified yourself previously in your life no longer applies. You are no longer a writer, an author, a father, you know, a salesman or whatever it is. You are now a higher consciousness, and this other person is with you. And this other person may be a different place along whatever path they're on, but you don't have to separate yourself out from them. Activities and events that formerly carried meaning and motivated you become unimportant. The things that were so important to you at an earlier time in your life, like whether you belonged to the right club, whether your friends liked you, whether you had the right jewelry on, whether you had the right dress or the right suit on or the right labels on you, whether you showed up at the right gatherings, whether you were with your bowling club on Thursday nights, or whatever it was, all of these activities and events that carried a lot of meaning for you in your life, which is not to say that they weren't important at the time, you're no longer obsessed with them. You almost go past them. And maybe being by yourself, or just being with one person that you love, and just reading a poem, or just going for a walk, it's all okay now. You're not rigidly having to go through certain motions in order to prove your humanity. You don't have to have a date every Friday and Saturday night. You don't have to be attached to a mate. You don't have to earn anything, or you can earn anything. All of these things that take up so many people's lives, which are terrific and fine if that's what you're doing right now and you're enjoying them, enjoy them. Please, you know, have a wonderful time with them. You'll find they become, as you start awakening, and this can happen at any age, at any time, they become less and less and less significant. And then you'll find yourself getting to the point where you'll say no. And then, no, I don't think I'm going to do that. I want to read this. Or I'm working on a project. I really want to write something that's really important to me. Or I've got a painting that I've been working on, and I want to see if I can get that finished. There's four or five of us that are starting a new group, and we're trying to raise the consciousness about alcoholism or about whatever it may be. And your priorities in life begin to shift radically from events, activities, things, places that you have to fit into. And more, you find yourself consulting your inner signals about what you know you have to do and what is right for you. And all of those other things that were so important are gone now. They're gone. I can see that in my own life. I can see it dramatically. The most important times that I have are with my children, and then when I can't be with them or when I choose not to be with them, it's being alone. And more, I find the moments that I can just sit and contemplate and read or sit at my typewriter or draw or just think, just be there, are perfect. They're absolutely perfect. And the idea now of having to go to a movie on Friday night and then having to go out for dinner and having to do all of those things, which was a part of my life for a long time, I now look back on as just where I was then and taught me how to get to here. In your personal relationships, as you awaken, you'll see that some grow deeper. The ones that you're really with and who are in that place that I described as no limits, where you are thought and thought is you, and the rules are different, those will grow. Your number of personal relationships will start to shift dramatically. You'll have fewer and fewer, quote, acquaintances and friends that are there all the time. And others, which were so important at one time, become insignificant. You relate to a select few people who don't have to agree with you, but are with you, not fighting you. And you tend to have a smaller and smaller circle of those kinds of things. Less patience for a lot and a lot of activities and friends around you. Your relationships literally change. So you might find yourself with only three or four, or maybe even one or two. And this is because you are solidifying the relationship with yourself and seeing yourself as something much greater, much more perfect. Your dependency relationships sour completely, and you become less and less tolerant for anybody determining anything about what your life is going to be. That's one of the most noticeable and dramatic shifts. No one is going to tell you what to do any longer. No one is going to dictate to you how you should be, whether it's dressing or eating or sleeping or living or sexual or whatever it may be. Those things are no longer a part of your existence. And that goes for on the job and everything else. You don't become on your job a dependent. You become a person who has a great deal to contribute, and you do that. And if other people try to control you first, you react the way I said earlier, with just love toward them. And if that doesn't seem to work for the harmony you want in your life, you just unobtrusively move on. Another thing that you'll find, and that I have found, is that the awakening process, which I am describing now, is something you can't turn away from. You might think that you can, but once it gets you, and how it gets you is like this. It's if you have an openness to it, the divineness that you are, the grandness that you are, the perfection that you are, the higher consciousness that you are, if you have an openness to that and you begin to act on that in your life, the analogy to the physical side is if you're all clogged up inside with cholesterol, or if you're clogged up with heart disease and so on, then health or nutrition or being is not something that can get in. It can't get in until you unclog it. So that the only way you can go with being clogged up with this physical negativity of too much fat and too much cholesterol and too much sugar and all of these kind of things is to deteriorate in your form. Your form will just ultimately deteriorate. Your skin will change. Your complexion looks worse. You gain weight or whatever it may be. And the idea of being healthy just can't get in. But when you start to unclog it, your physiology, and nutrition and positive nutrition and exercise and being healthy and not eating salt and not eating sugars and not consuming alcohol and all of this kind of thing, that starts to take over in you. You can't stop it. I mean, once you start feeling better and it starts feeling good and you know that you can't eat that, you can't go back to that any longer. It gets a hold of you. And before long, you look at stuff that you used to eat and you go, wow, would I really have eaten that at one time? And you go into a restaurant and you see somebody eating something that you just couldn't possibly put into you. I was on the plane coming up here and they gave us a snack that looked like it was made in about 1943. Somebody opened it up and it had all that chemical smell to it from processed food. And I said, what is that? I mean, it just looked like brown stuff. The flight attendant said, oh, that's chicken. I said, I never saw a chicken that looked like that. And as soon as someone opened it, it had that smell about it. And I watched all these people around me just eating this stuff. And I thought, no, I'll just pass. I said, I'll just pass on that. Thank you. What was interesting about it is that I used to live on that stuff. I mean, I could eat greasy tacos and all of that kind of stuff. So it's like I have let something else in and unclogged myself in the physical domain. Well, the same thing applies in the thinking domain. And that is that once you start letting in these ideas that you are connected to the universe and there is a positive force in the universe and you are a part of that force and that you can make anything happen for yourself that you want and you are connected to all of humanity and there's a synchronicity in the universe. There are no coincidences in a perfect universe and everything that happens, happens for a reason and you're there to learn from it. Forgiveness is a way of life. All of these kinds of higher consciousness qualities, they begin to enter into your life and you can't turn away from it. You just don't turn back from it. You get a little more into it, a little more. Now, you don't become a proselytizer, and you're not trying to convince anybody else that they have to be the way you want to be. In fact, that's part of being awakened, is that you don't have to convince anybody else. You love people for where they are, even those that are doing harm. You still send them love and try to get the whole universe back in harmony with its perfection instead of being on the side of all this tumult or on the side of disorder. We try to get the earth back on the side of order and get enough ordered people, that is, people who are wired together with order inside, so that they can affect positively the people next to them. And before long, we don't have any soldiers to fight these wars, and we don't have all the hatred and so on. And you see that once you get on the side of order, disorder is impossible for you. Older values that you used to have that served your ego, which were formerly narrow and self-serving, now become part of the harmony that you are. A lot of the things that you found yourself doing for yourself and at the expense of everybody else, it doesn't make any difference. I'm going to get mine before the other guy gets me. It doesn't matter if I cheat or if I lie or if I have to be dishonest with anybody. None of those things make any difference as long as I am getting what I'm entitled to. Begin to diminish. And your values begin to shift always towards this concept of harmony. You're not ego-defined any longer. You're not defined by what I get and how I get it. But you're more defined by how I can be internally at peace and how I can help other people to do that. And you have only love then to give away, and you start giving that away. And you find irony of ironies, that all the things that you would have bitten for and sneaked for and lied for and killed for are there in sufficient number. Why? Because you know that you are it all. You're not going to get it all. If you can't appreciate everything that you have right now, then you don't need anything else, because you'll just be in a new position to not appreciate what you have. And until you can get to that point where you're not ego involved, you just are harmony, you are peace, you are love through your thoughts, that's all you'll have to give away. And it's like, it's the new philosophy of business. Tom Peters talks about it in his programs on excellence, and Dennis Waitley on his new programs. There's a real radical shift. Taking a look at the books that are on the bestseller list. They're all books that talk about the best businesses, and the ones that work the most profitably are those who are not, they're not consumed with their own quotas, but with the quotas of their customers. And they let their own quotas take care of themselves. And they're all into service and providing as much possible just love and harmony and good things for the people that you do business with, so that they will want to continue to do business with you. And the irony is that the more you provide that kind of thing, the more it comes back. It all starts to work on this philosophy of you're not ego involved. You're much more involved with harmony.
This is the end of Side 11. Please turn the cassette over to begin Side 12.